Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, February 28, 2017. I'm Mary Sherman. Here's what's happening in today's news. Another wave of bomb threats target Jewish community centers. Health professionals urge a halt to attacks on clean air protections and a warning about a shutoff swindle targeting utility customers. And we begin with anonymous bomb threats sending fear through Jewish communities around the country. 20 bomb threats were called in from community centers in 12 separate states Monday. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said President Donald Trump continues to condemn these and other form of anti-Semitic and hateful acts in the strongest terms.
We've been dedicated to protecting the freedom of our citizens' rights to worship. No one in America should feel afraid to follow the religion of their choosing freely and openly. The president is dedicated to preserving this originating principle of our nation.
A U.S. law enforcement official says the threatening phone calls appear to be coordinated and are coming from both within the country and from overseas. The FBI is also examining whether hacked communication devices were used. There have now been more than 160 bomb threats made to over 60 Jewish community centers since January. A House Democratic lawmaker attempted Monday to force a House floor vote on a resolution to request President Trump's tax returns. The effort failed on a party-line vote, 229 to 185, with two Republicans voting present. The move was the latest in a series of Democratic efforts to push Congress to request the tax returns, and Democrats demanded a roll-call vote to force Republicans to go on the record. In a speech to a joint session of Congress tonight, President Trump will outline his approach to budgeting, a big boost to defense spending, and no cuts to entitlements like Medicaid or Social Security. Speaking at a gathering of U.S. governors at the White House, the president said the budget will focus on public safety and national security.
This defense spending increase will be offset and paid for by finding greater savings and efficiencies across the federal government. We're going to do more with less.
There are reports that $54 billion would be cut in fiscal year 2018 with significant cuts to the EPA and foreign aid. Meanwhile, more than 120 retired generals and admirals signed a letter pushing back at the proposal, saying State Department funding is critical to keeping America safe. Recent events surrounding the Dakota Access Pipeline and the presidential election are spurring interest among consumers in what their money is supporting as it sits in their savings accounts. Stephanie Carson has more in this report.
So far, more than $69 million has been divested from banks funding the pipeline, but Terry Jordy with Independent Community Bankers of America says interest in banking locally surged long before the current political climate.
Having that local service, that local control where people feel good about investing in their own community, and so they know that if they bank with a local community bank that that bank is reinvesting the money that they might put on deposit there right back in their local economy.
According to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, in 2016, community banks reported more than an 11% growth in net income and represent 92% of insured institutions. A recent report from Transit Union found that credit union membership grew at more than three times the credit activity at other financial institutions.
40,000 doctors, nurses, and public health professionals have asked the oil and gas industry to stop opposing policies to reduce methane emissions. In an open letter to the Marcellus Shale Coalition, an industry lobbying group, the health advocates point out that opposing regulations that restrict methane emissions endangers public health. The gas developers are urging state legislators to support a bill that would prohibit the Department of Environmental Protection from having stricter regulations than those mandated by the federal government. And as Dr. Ned Cater notes, the Trump administration does not like regulations.
The administration has made it very clear that as early as this week, they're going to start rolling back and removing regulations that protect public health.
The gas industry counters that burning natural gas is cleaner than burning coal or oil and therefore helps clean the environment. Now to Texas, where budget cuts to the state's Medicaid program have left many of the state's poorest children with little or no access to necessary health care.
They say despite calls by some in the Texas legislature to restore funding, the current Senate budget plan underfunds Medicaid by at least $1.9 billion and includes an across-the-board budget cut that threatens care for many recipients. Chase D. Anderson, a senior policy associate with the Children's Defense Fund Texas, says the cuts are hitting families with special needs children the hardest.
When you look at a Senate budget that underfunds needs and then on top of that implements a 1.5% cut to all Health and Human Services programs, it's hard to see how that would improve conditions for families who rely on Medicaid.
Texas is one of 19 states that did not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act and still has both the highest rate and number of uninsured people in the country. For Public News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
In consumer news, it's called the shutoff swindle, and it's reaching record levels this winter, including preying on utility customers.
The scam, like many, comes in a couple variations, according to Stephanie Schuyler, a volunteer fraud fighter with AARP New Hampshire. She says the most common is a phone call.
The person on the phone will push for immediate payment or else your account will be shut off. Sometimes those phone calls are robocalls and they give you a phone number to call back. And sometimes it's a bogus email.
Schuyler says the number one way to avoid falling prey to this scam is to hang up the phone and call your utility company directly. Ask them if your bill is up to date.
That was Mike Clifford reporting, and I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.